It's Ian Pickus. We're back in the Congressional Corner today with Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal, a Democrat from the 1st District, and he's been in office since 1989. You are a student of history. You teach it. You study American politics. What did you think when you saw a bullet graze former President Trump?
Well, I thought it was tragic. I think that we all reacted with great horror to what we were witnessing. It's also a reminder now of the speed with which news travels. It certainly was an Instagram moment, and I think that we all were very reflective of the role that violence has come to play in American politics. Not that it's new, but now where I think that social media heightens many of the threats that take place, and I think that it causes those who are perhaps in a more bad frame of mind to act based upon these what appear to be crazed moments. When you read about this individual, it looks as though he was pretty socially isolated. And I think that the fact that he was able to come within a matter of inches of taking perhaps the former president's life, we need to remind ourselves it's time to dial down some of this rhetoric. And I don't excuse the former president for much of the rhetoric that he has inspired over the years. But I also think that for all of us, I think for the sake of our democracy, a more informed discussion where facts, not beliefs, count. And I think that we all need to take individual responsibility for the manner in which we choose our words. Every issue is not Armageddon. And I think that we need to react accordingly. I mean, the role of legislative life through the what we call the regular order is to accept some arguments that you might not be totally in agreement with, at the same time to reject other arguments. But our job is not to entertain the American people, it's to inform them, and then they make the judgment. So I think that as we haven't had a chance to witness this horror of the attack on the former president, we all wished it for a speedy recovery, and that's the way that the President Biden reacted as well. I thought that the outpouring that came from members of Congress about the attack was appropriate. Overwhelmingly, members of Congress took the position that this was abhorrent.
So let me follow up with that, because, you know, President Biden's line of attack, for lack of a better term here, politically speaking, on Trump is that he poses really a threat to American democracy. Facts are facts. He tried to overturn the last election, which he lost fair and square, and he inspired a lot of questionable reaction to it in the years after the 2020 election. So how do you make the point that there's a lot at stake in this election without going to sort of extreme language? Because Republicans, since the shooting, have said, you know, saying Trump threatens democracy is the kind of language that led to the shooting.
Well, let's not forget that a former president has rejected the result of an election that he lost by almost 9 million votes. And I call attention to that because that is not helpful to democratic values. In addition to which, it is commentary that he has offered about he would be a dictator on day one. Let's just go back and measure some of the things that the vice presidential nominee, Vance, has had to say about the former president. And I think the events of January 6th were, again, horrific to witness what was going on. I was in the Capitol that day. They were at the door of my office. They were pounding on the door. The lights were out. The table was pushed against the door. And for the former president to say that he would consider pardoning some of these individuals for these outrageous acts of violence, I think is not acceptable.
Okay, so let's get into the question that Democrats are confronting. A lot of them, many of your colleagues, want to see Biden replaced as the nominee. They flatly think he's losing and pulling some other races down with him. What's your view?
Well, I think that when Joe Biden makes that determination, then we'll all know what the decision is. I think that there's been a lot of speculation. There are 20 members of Congress, as you know, who continue to make the argument that he should be replaced on the ticket. I think that Hakeem Jeffries, our Democratic leader, and former Speaker Pelosi, they've made the argument that it's a decision that rests with Joe Biden. And I do think that some of the polling at the moment is really all over the place when you look at it. It's even as recently as a couple of days ago, the 538 poll, which has him up 3 across the country, was pretty wild, considering that the Electoral College dictates the outcome, and we're likely, some people say it's six or seven states. I think right now it's down to three and perhaps one congressional district in Omaha, Nebraska, that might determine the outcome of the Electoral College. So we're watching it very carefully. I think that it needs a constant reminder that Joe Biden has really done a good job. The American economy, as I noted, has really rebounded so far ahead of the rest of the world. When you consider the Inflation Reduction Act, again, the Infrastructure Bill, the CHIPS Act, the Butch Lewis Act, all of these initiatives I was in the middle of, and he signed. I had regular conversations with him in the White House. He called me on a number of occasions to talk about where we were headed. And this is the kind of negotiation, and this is the sort of, I think, legislative life that I came along in. And this is going to be really good for the country. So I don't want to, for one moment, not applaud the work that Joe Biden has done while simultaneously saying that he's got a big decision to continue to make here.
Now, but hasn't he made the decision? I mean, he released that letter to the House Democrats and said he was staying in. He said it in all these interviews. I'm just trying to understand because, you know, there's reporting that former Speaker Pelosi is making calls, and it seems like, you know, the caucus wants to keep the question open, and it's also the case that the president says he has decided.
Well, I think that Nancy Pelosi's comments were, in fact, on target. She said that the president has decided, apparently, and there is still time for him to talk about these issues, and there's further opportunity for him as he moves along to clarify comments that he's made right along.
Have you talked to him lately?
No, but I have talked to the White House. I've been in contact with the White House, that's for sure. And I know that other members of Congress have as well. And I've indicated whatever Joe Biden's decision is that I'm going to be receptive of it.
Did you notice that he had slipped or changed at all over this term?
I sat next to him for an hour and a half. I've known him for a long time. In fact, at different intervals, he has said to me, "Would you please call me Joe?" And I've said, "No, I'm not going to do that. It's Mr. President." And I sat with him for an hour and a half at the St. Patrick's Day luncheon. The Speaker of the House was on one side and I was on the other. And we had a very cogent conversation. It went on, as I said, about politics. It went on about the candidacies. And I would not violate the confidence that he offered in his perception. But I must tell you, in March at the St. Patrick's Day get-together, he was fine.
So then that leads to this question. Do you see a different candidate performing better than Biden is as we speak?
It's hard to say. I think everybody's a good candidate until the spotlight's on them. And that changes everything. I mean, I look back at decisions like George McGovern asking Tom Eagleton if was there anything that he should be aware of, and the vice presidential nominees passed, and Tom Eagleton, what he gave what he thought at the time was an honest answer. And a week later, he was off the ticket.
Yeah, 18-day running mate.
Yeah, that's my argument here. I think that a lot of people emerge, and sometimes the kind of excitement of the moment doesn't play out over the long run. And I think that my experience informs me that that is oftentimes more likely than unlikely. Those flash-in-the-pan candidates tend not to hang around, and when they do, they tend not to be sustained. They're generally gone pretty fast.
But Biden says that Kamala Harris is ready to be president. I mean, if she ended up as the nominee, do you think the Democratic Party is in okay shape?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the speculation, yes. I mean, I'm not certainly making any commitment, but at the same time, I do think she'd be fine. I've known her for a while. And I think that the conversations I had with her at the White House, the holiday function, for example, I thought were pretty good. She sits in on some of the meetings that we participated in. And yeah, she's fully informed.
That's Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal, a Democrat from the 1st District, in office since 1989. And when we come back the next time, I want to pick back up talking about the junior senator from Ohio.